Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to open up to Luke chapter 24. As I stated earlier, today we join with millions of Christians all around the world in celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, who took on humanity in order to redeem sinners. In this regard, Christianity is unique. Out of all the world's religions, only Christianity is founded upon the death, burial, and resurrection of its founder. Jesus was unique. As the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, he is himself God. But he humbled himself and became a human being, born of a virgin girl, Mary, by the work of the Holy Spirit. He was fully God, but also became fully man. He did this to fulfill the eternal covenant of redemption by living a perfect sinless life that no human being, started with Adam, had ever been able to live. Then, laying that life down as a sacrifice for the sins of all who would put their faith in him for salvation. He was taken down from that cross and laid in a borrowed tomb on the evening of that Good Friday. As we know, his body remained in that tomb until Sunday morning, the morning of the third day, when he rose from the dead just as he had told his disciples he would do, just as we have been singing about and celebrating this morning. But how do we know this is true? We should probably simply believe it by faith because God has told us to. But God has graciously given to us conclusive evidence of the resurrection of Jesus in the form of eyewitnesses. Not one or two, but as Pastor Don said, over 500 of Jesus' disciples saw him in his glorified resurrection body during multiple appearances over 40 days after his resurrection. And God has preserved for us the recorded eyewitness testimony of those who personally encountered Jesus after his resurrection. In our text for today, we will look at the account of one of those appearances of our risen Savior and Lord. But before we get to our text, let me remind you of some of the things that had already taken place on that first resurrection Sunday. Very early that morning, several of the women had walked outside of the city walls to the tomb where they had seen the body of Jesus placed on Friday evening after his death on the cross. When they arrived at his tomb, they found the stone had been removed and the body of Jesus was gone. Instead, they encountered two angels inside of the tomb who told them that Jesus had risen just as he had said he would. They were to go and tell the other disciples that he had risen from the dead. On their way to do this, as they were instructed, they encountered Jesus himself in his risen, glorified body. Matthew tells us that Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Jesus also told them to tell the others what they had seen. This they did. But the others did not believe them. Two of the disciples, Peter and John, did run to the tomb and found the stone removed and Jesus' body gone, but they did not see angels. And they did not see Jesus. Mark, in his gospel, tells us that Mary Magdalene also had an encounter with Jesus that morning. She also went and told the disciples, but they also would not believe her. Now remember, they had been devastated by the unexpected and brutal death of their Lord, the one they thought would become their king. Jesus, the one whom they loved and had given up everything to follow, was dead. All of their hopes and dreams had been shattered. They simply could not believe the stories of these obviously over-emotional women. It is what happened. Luke tells us that later that day, Jesus did appear to Peter and to two other men who were on their way home to the nearby town of Emmaus. So discouraged by the death of Jesus, that is, until he revealed himself to them. And then they rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples that they had seen Jesus, that he is risen. He is risen indeed. We pick up the story of that Resurrection Sunday in our text. So if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 33 to 40. This is God's word. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were gathered with them together, saying to them, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. May God bless the reading of his word to us. You may be seated. Wow. Luke tells us that these two men who had seen and talked with Jesus ran back to Jerusalem, and they found a large gathering of his disciples to tell them what they had seen and heard. And there they hear about his other appearances. There must have been many questions being asked by those who had not yet seen him. I can only imagine questions like, "What did he look like? How is this possible? When will I get to see him? And where is he now?" Then Luke tells us that as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Shalom, peace to you." Jesus does not knock on the front door. He simply appears in the room. And Luke tells us that they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a ghost. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, that they had doubts that what they were seeing was truly him. And remember, they had every reason to doubt. This had never happened before in the entire history of mankind. Jesus was the first and only person to be raised from the dead in a glorified body. Oh, it is true that God had raised others from the dead, and Jesus had raised others from the dead, but in a normal human body, not in a glorified body. So Jesus offers them proof, the proof that they need, that this is indeed Him. Jesus shows them the scars from His crucifixion, which were proof that He is the one who had been crucified and died upon the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. The wounds are no longer bleeding. They were glorified, but they are still visible, so that they could know for certain that it is Him. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And then He said to them, "Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." This was no ghost. This was their risen Savior in a glorified human body. This glorified body was flesh and bone, but it had extraordinary abilities. It could suddenly appear and disappear, just as it had. It could pass through locked doors and even rise into heaven, as they will one day witness. Nevertheless, it is a human body. It is both physical and spiritual. They could touch Him. They could hold Him. They could embrace Him. And I imagine that's exactly what they did. Can you imagine getting a hug from your risen Savior? Hallelujah. Look at their reaction in Luke 24:41. "And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, He said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?'" While they were disbelieving for joy and were marveling. This phrase, disbelieving for joy, would be the equivalent of our phrase, "This is too good to be true." They were so overjoyed they could hardly believe their eyes. And of course they were marveling. As I said earlier, nothing like this had ever happened before. And their great sorrow over the death of their Lord was now replaced with overwhelming joy. And Jesus says, "Have you anything here to eat?" Remember, it had been 3 days since He had eaten a meal. So they gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He ate it before them. This was further proof that they were not seeing a ghost or some apparition. Instead, this was Jesus, their risen Messiah in a glorified human body, now having a meal with them. Jesus had proven to His disciples that He had indeed risen from the dead. Now He takes the opportunity to teach them from the Scriptures what He had done and why it was necessary for Him to have done it in this manner. We can only imagine the questions they must have had. Why? Why did this happen to you? Why did you have to suffer like this? Why did you have to die? So Jesus preached to them the first Easter sermon. And we will see that Jesus' sermon was biblical, it was gospel-centered, and it was missional. First, it was a biblical sermon. Look at verses 44 and 45 with me. "Then Jesus said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Jesus reminds his followers once again that the Old Testament Scriptures were written about him. Jesus states that all three divisions of the Jewish Scriptures, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, were speaking about him and were fulfilled by him. Here are just a few of those Old Testament passages that Jesus may have mentioned to them. Jesus was the seed of the woman from Genesis 3:15. Jesus was the offspring of Abraham from Genesis 12:7. Jesus was David's Lord from Psalm 110:1. Jesus was born of a virgin. That was written by Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, over 600 years before he was born of a virgin. Jesus was mocked by the people. He was beaten and scourged. He was stripped of his clothing. His hands and feet were pierced. That was written over 1,000 years before it happened in Psalms 22:16. None of his bones were broken. The other two men who were crucified with him did not die soon enough. So the Roman soldiers broke the bones in their legs. That's what they would do to hasten death by crucifixion. But Jesus had already given up his spirit. And so his legs were not broken. That was foretold 1,000 years before. And he was poured out to death, just as Isaiah 53 foretold he would. Jesus had fulfilled over 100 specific prophecies regarding his life, death, burial, and resurrection. Over 100. There was not room on the screen for that many verses, nor time for us to go over them. But nevertheless, it is true. And Jesus now opened their minds so that they could understand that Jesus was the promised Savior and that he had done all things according to the divine plan of God. And then Jesus turns their attention to the gospel. Look at verses 46 and 47. And Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Jesus himself had told his disciples many times beforehand that he would be crucified, that he would die, that he would be buried, and on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Now he taught them that this was necessary to provide salvation, to provide forgiveness of sin for all who would repent and believe in him. He had to become the Lamb of God who would take away our sins. Jesus opened their minds to understand that his death, burial, and resurrection all happened according to the predetermined plan of God to provide salvation for all of those chosen by the Father and redeemed by the Son. A Savior had been promised by God, and a Savior had been sent by God. And that Savior had taken their place upon that cross and had suffered the divine wrath of God that was due to them for their sins. It was that act, Jesus taking our sin upon himself and suffering what we deserved, that makes it possible for us to repent and receive forgiveness for our sins and be reconciled to God. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we've now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. That's right. Jesus died on that cross to save us from the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. God's word tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of the perfection of God, and that the penalty for sin is death, both spiritual and physical death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And Jesus wanted these disciples who were gathered in that upper room with him that Easter evening, he wanted them to know the gospel message that salvation is available only through him. And he wanted them to go out and be his witnesses, proclaim this gospel message to all nations, to all people groups, beginning from Jerusalem. And this makes this sermon a missional sermon. Look at verse 47 again. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then he says, you are witnesses of these things. And they certainly were eyewitnesses. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus told those gathered in that place that they now had a mission to accomplish. They were to be his witnesses. They were to go out and proclaim these truths, this gospel message, to all people. They were to share the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They had seen Jesus, and they had heard Jesus. They had received these truths from Jesus, and they were to go and tell others also. And he told them he would send the promise of his Father to them to empower them to be his witnesses. That promise was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who Christ would pour out upon them on the day of Pentecost. What about us? We too, as the redeemed followers of Jesus Christ, have been called to live for Christ. Not to live for ourselves. Not to live in any manner that we feel we should. But to live for him. He is our Savior, but he is also our Lord. And we too have been given the gospel message to share with others. And we too have been given the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us to be Christ's witnesses. We have heard the gospel as preached by Jesus. And by the grace of God, many of us in this room have been born again through faith in Christ. We have experienced his love, his grace, his forgiveness, and his power. Amen? We now live as children of the Most High God. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day when I too will be raised into a sin-free, glorified body on the day of Christ's return. And I know you do too. But there may be one or more in this room that you're just not sure if this is true. And you have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. Well, there is no better day to do that than today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And I pray that if you don't yet know Him as your Savior, that today you will. What a gift we have been given. What a privilege to be able to offer this great gift that we have been given to others. So let us rejoice in our risen Savior. And let us rejoice in the new life that we have been given in Him. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, first for your love for us. That love that compelled you to send your Son to be the sacrifice for our sins, for my sin. I am a sinner, and left to my own, I would have absolutely no hope of heaven, of eternal life. I would be spending eternity in an entirely different place, away from you. But God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. And then, Father God, you gave me the gift of saving faith that I might believe in your Son and be saved. And you caused me to be born again, and you gave me your Spirit to empower me to now live for you and to be your witness. Lord, I ask that for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room. Give them the faith to believe. Cause them to be born again. Fill them with your Spirit. And cause them to live for you and to live as your witness. And Father, we do look forward to that day when Jesus comes again, this time in glory and in power to establish His kingdom forever. Until that day, may we worship you and give thanks to you. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. I think I'm on, am I? Yeah. It is a wonderful day that we celebrate today. Springtime is here. New life is all around us. And it just points to the fact that new life is in each one of us whom God has called and who has responded to that call. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Why don't you stand with us? Let's sing a song. Let's sing a song about the risen Christ.
Say Hallelujah. For joy awakes this dawning light when Christ's disciples lift their eyes. Alive he stands, a friend and king. Christ, Christ he is risen.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we could even ask or think or even believe, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. And all God's people said, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
May God bless you on this Easter day.